I wouldn't even come up here and stand if I didn't feel the certainty in my spirit that God didn't put this on my heart. And I felt such love and such an uplifting move of God. And it just took everything that was on me. It just moved it out of the way. It wasn't any great big fight. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't something that I had to petition to God and justify why that I needed it. I came to God. I asked God for help from my heart. And He moved for me. And I felt like that through the Spirit that God gave me something just that quick, and I'm just going to leave it with you. And I'm not going to be uncertain if it's going to bless you. I know that it is. Hallelujah. Devil, you go on out of here tonight. For I know that this that is going to be spoken is going to be received. And I know that beyond all doubt that the Spirit of God will encourage the people under the sound of my voice. I appreciate the obedience of what has been spoken tonight. And if we do not heed to God's word and to what the Spirit bids us to do, guys, we are in trouble. That's the only word that comes to mind. We better get on to it, better heed to it, better grab hold of it. It's the only thing that'll keep you, only thing that'll carry you through the storm. I know that we feel like that we've got it under control, but it only takes a moment and an instant to lose everything, to feel like that the world has finally come crashing down. And the only thing that I know that is certain in my spirit is God. The only thing that I could cling to is God. When the devil feels like that he's won the battle in me, there is something that I call out on, that I feel victory in me. There is nothing that could hinder the power of God in my life if I so choose to stand for the Spirit of God. If I so choose to believe the anointing that is within me, there is nothing, no nothing, that can stand in my way. I begin to read in the Word of God throughout the entire book of Philippians, and I begin to think about what the entire book means and stands for, and I begin to think about one word. And before I say the word, I'll get to where a lot of us are: unhappy, not content, upset, in question of things around us, confused, wondering when things are coming, wondering why that we have to go through the things that we do, feeling so insignificant. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I will not be denied this message tonight. Feeling like that we're defeated, like it cannot be repaired, like the ones that we've been calling out on are not going to be changed. The situations that we call out on day in and day out seems like that there's nothing going to change. And our minds get so fixed upon those things that we get drawn away from where God wants our lives to be. It turns our hearts away because we grow cold on the circumstance. And I'm here to tell you that we all fall subject to the claws. We all are subject to fall because we all can be drawn away by what matters to us. When something that matters to you begins to crumble before you, it finally speaks to you and it finally gets your attention. And you wonder, what, God, why? Is somebody brave enough to admit that you've been there before? Are you there now? Did God put this on my heart just for me? Come on now. The word that God put on my heart today is satisfied. I feel like in reading Philippians that the message of Paul in Philippians was being satisfied. In chapter 1, verse 3, it reads it like this: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I am satisfied with the good works that Christ has done in me. It would be easy for me to sit around, Brennan, and be unhappy with all the things that's going wrong. But I'm satisfied today. I'm thankful for everything that I have. And it might not count of much worth to you, but I read from the first day until now, it didn't just start when I felt like that God came into my life. God knew me when I was formed in the beginning. And I'm thankful for everything that God has done for me. And I am satisfied, even if I feel like in my flesh that I'm lacking in riches, even if I feel like in my flesh that I'm missing out on some things sometimes, I'm still satisfied. I'm still thankful. And I have a reason to give God praise today. Oh, the enemy wants me to be unhappy. Always not getting up and giving God praise, but I'm thankful for what I have. We have reason to give thanks. I know that you could stand up and just think and give a top 10 of things you're thankful for. We grow so numb. Life goes so fast. And we count everything so little. But you see, there's power in being satisfied. When you're content, you can begin to feel peace. Can we read on? Oh, man. Oh, I'm so excited. It gets better as you go on. In chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I would lose all that I have to not lose what I feel in the Spirit. That Holy Ghost that stirs me. You can take my house. You go right ahead and take my cars, take my wallet, take all the plastic and the money in my wallet. You take all my possessions, take my TVs, take my cable subscription, take my computers, take everything that I've got, but don't take the one thing that keeps me in my life. It's the one thing that will satisfy you when everything else goes awry. You can stand with the Spirit of God when nothing is working for you. Where moth and dust doth corrupt, where we lay our trust in things that we should not, we should be satisfied because we have something that what? What does it do? Well, we're going on. And be found it, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Satisfied with the fellowship of Christ. Do you even know the concept of that? To be in fellowship with the Spirit, not just to have an every now relationship, not a I'll talk to you later sometime when I need you, but to get down and call out, to feel God's presence on a daily basis. Do you know what kind of transformation that your life would begin to take if you would begin to let the flesh die out a little bit and take in a little more of what God wants to pour out in you. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit of a loss to feel a little bit of an increase in God. And yes, it will feel painful because, yes, it is our flesh. It will be something that's hard for you to lay down. It will be something that in your mind feels like it could never happen in the moment. But if you begin to push out and trust God and be satisfied in knowing that, Lord, if I laid it all down today, and God, if I had nothing, as long as I have you, I have everything. I have, God, what I need. Hallelujah. In chapter 4, in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Two very big verses. Very hard to get a hold of and apply because we don't want to. Uh-oh. We thought it was going to be all positive today. I wish it was. Sometimes we want all the benefits, but we don't want to put in the work. I wish I could get a $100,000 raise at work without any more effort, but that's just not going to happen. I am going to have to pick and claw and dig and do everything that I know to do just to get a little bit up the chain. Needless to say, benefits do not come without labor. It said to let your requests be made known. How would I know that you need something? If we stand here and don't talk, I will never know what you need. If you never talk to God, never tell Him, never pray, come on now. Somebody, back me up here. If we do not communicate and make our requests known, it's one thing to tell God what's on my mind, but to make my requests known. When I make my requests known, you know what that does? It humbles me. It makes me admit my faults. Makes me recognize my problems. If I never go to God and tell Him that I have too much pride in my life, if I never go to God and admit that I'm too proud to say that I made a mistake, then we're just going to sit there in that state for a while. And judgment will come and pay me a visit in that state, lest I come and repent. I just heard the brakes go on, but that's all right. We have to be in a place where we're communicating. Just as much as you're looking at me, God is ever so nigh unto you. And just as much as you tell me that you love me, or that you would need me to walk over and hand you a Kleenex because you're in need of one, God wants to know that you are in need of something. He wants to know, and only hears when we cry out. Because when we make those things known in communication, we're humbled. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it'll give you something that will help you surpass your circumstance. Help you get past what's bothering you. Don't you want to get there? Do you want to sit and look at that problem forever? Or don't you want to have the victory over it, even if you're still going through it? It is possible with the peace of God, because it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You're not going to keep yourself any other way. Try as you will, be unhappy with the message, and go out and try it yourself. I'm not going to pray. I got this. All right, all right. You got it. One service miss turns to two. I've still got this. I've got it. I don't need to go to church. I can read my Bible and pray and do all that. And a week goes by and we don't pray. We don't open the Bible. Don't as much as even think upon God. Problem gets a little worse. Another week goes by. Just a little something happens and we blow it out of proportion. Doing something that we completely out of character because we're not in the godly state that we should be. Come on, church. We're getting real now. God gives us the things that will keep our minds and our hearts. Because you see, sometimes our hearts are moved to do things, and then in other events, our minds are moved to do things. We think upon things long enough, it makes us mad enough, we'll go and do it. Or if something hurts us, then it upsets us long enough, and we'll go and do it. But God is so good that He will speak and move to both areas. You see? And if we make our requests known to God and not let that stay bottled up in you, we sit around like a bunch of shook up pops just waiting to blow. And if any little thing comes by, a little sharp prick, it comes by, you just... They don't even know what hit them. And they're like, I thought you went to church. Yeah, buddy, you better get out of my way. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I go to 13th Street.
Do you?
Yeah. Have service at 7. One little thing. The enemy wants to hit you with one little thing. And if you're all pent up with anger, all pent up with everything, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know if anybody else does, but if we're all pent up with all the stuff that the devil wants to put us in, pride is one of the biggest poisons that is here to corrupt the children of God. And if we let that sit in there long enough and we get all shook up with trials, it's bound to happen to you. So what's your schedule like during the week? Well, I gotta pray. You mean, so if you preach two great big services, then you don't get out of praying all week? No. You got to communicate to God. You got to read His Word. You mean you actually take time to read in the Bible every day? I can honestly look everybody in the eye and say, yes. Yes, I do. And I'm not saying that to rub that into you. I'm telling you that because I hope that it's showing on me. That when I come in here that you're seeing somebody that's more happy. That you're seeing somebody that wants you to grow. That you see somebody that it's not about Jared anymore. That I'm coming in and I want you to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And that's what I was praying earlier. God showed me so much that He's done for me. And He showed me in the Word that I should be thankful and satisfied. And if I ever come in unhappy and so tore up with everything going on, that I should look no further than right here. That I should be coming to God and saying, Lord, cut me down with this that's hindering me. And I shouldn't be ashamed to come and get others to say, help me. Get this off of me. Don't walk around with baggage. They'll charge you $150 to carry around an extra one on a plane. Why in the world are we going to pay the cost of depression, oppression, anger issues, sadness? Taking it out on people that don't deserve it. Our loved ones, you know, people are not punching bags. And we shouldn't treat them like that. And me as a minister of God should never, ever go to somebody and vent my anger to them. Because all I'm doing is just saying, here, you take all my garbage and put it in your trash can. I put out all that on somebody else, then they're filled up and they've got to go and do that. If I'm not exhorting and not encouraging my brethren, I might as well walk up to them and insult them and cut them down to their face because it's the same thing. It leads them to the same place. And if I'm not being obedient to God, in turn it is disobedience. And in turn, I might as well just be sinning with them because we're leading it all to the same place. Did you really have to go there, Jared? We were doing just fine. I'm leaving no dirt. We'll read on. In chapter 4. In verse 11, it gets even better as you read on. Go home and read the entire book. It's just 4 chapters. Big deal, 4 chapters. You'll feel satisfied. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. I'm satisfied with the strength. If we're not tapping in to the strength, you can keep your mind, but I'm talking about a hunger for more. I'm talking about not coming in and going through the motions. I'm talking about getting a little muscle and going out and doing the work of God. I'm talking about getting a little backbone and exercising the gifts and callings in the church. Do we have any backbone? Do we have anybody left willing to stand for the truths of God's word? Do we? Are you willing? Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm satisfied. I draw from that living water. I draw from that, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if I'm thankful, I find joy. And where I find joy, I find strength. If I'm not looking to be thankful, if I'm not seeking the kingdom of heaven, if I'm not searching after what is righteous, what is true, then I am not searching for what will benefit me and help me grow. It's like pouring a bottle of Coca-Cola on a seed you just put in the dirt. You know better than that. You know that won't help it grow. And when we say that, we say, yeah, that makes total sense. Why would I do that? And if you knew that, you wouldn't pour weed killer on it and expect it to grow. Yet when Satan tries to tell us that we're worthless and that we have no business standing up and being ministers or singers or standing up and doing anything for God, that those hands mean nothing when you raise them and that that voice means nothing when you cry out to God, we think that that's going to help us grow when we listen to that. I'm here to tell you that you need to get that off of you. You need to go ahead and rise up and take your right. I don't know if that excites you or not, but I feel the strongholds holding people captive, and you need to rise up and shake off some chains that are holding you back. We're living in a day of willing captives. Did you just say that too? Yes, I'm going to go all over the place. Willing captives. I'm willing to sit here and let the devil put me to sleep because I've lost all willpower to obey God. Come on now. God, give you a measure of faith. All that I'm asking you is to take a step. When we're in worship, I'm not asking you to get up and stand because it's me singing and that I would enjoy the pleasure of your company standing up. It's because God wants us to move in unity, and that the spirit of worship is like a battle cry for God's people. And as we begin to cry out together, that unity begins to break the strongholds of the enemy. And I'm here to tell you that those that are in this state that can't even get up on their own need us to be in a strong state of worship. And I know that we're never going to be able to put a lineup of songs together that's going to satisfy everybody. But what I would ask you to do when you come in here is just to be willing to be thankful for what you have in your life. And even if you have to look past a song, just to stand up and praise God anyway. Because if you don't like that one, there'll be another one come around that might satisfy you. But if we didn't have music at all, could you still get up and praise God? Could we be willing enough to say that we'd have a non-music service and see how far we'd get? I'd be almost safe to say that we might not make it as far as we could throw a rock. Because sometimes we lean so much on loud noise. Sometimes God just wants the cries of his people. If I ask you right now to stand up and begin to cry out to God, do you think we could handle it? I'm just being honest with you. Just say it. Just think to yourself. Some of us might be saying no right now. And that's all right. Because we just need to think about the question and see the real answer. And think, what is it, Lord, that would make me say that? God, is it my lack of faith for the church? Lord, is it my lack of faith for in myself to stand and be obedient? God, do I need to get up and do more and be a light more? You see, Satan tries to deceive people into doing nothing. Because if you do nothing, you are of no threat to draw others to Christ. And you see, those that are willing, in the Word of God it says the laborers are few. There's only a few willing vessels left in this world. And there's only a few functioning churches left in the world where people can still get help. And I want us to be a church where we are still active in the Spirit. We only are active in the Spirit when we are a church willing to die out to the flesh. Don't hate me for that, but it's the truth. We have to let go of ourselves, lose ourselves in the Spirit, let ourselves get a sore throat from shouting too much, or let ourselves break a sweat and wipe it off when we're done. Come on now. Kick our shoes off if we have to because we wore our heels too high. For me, sometimes my feet get sore because I jump, but that's all right. Sometimes God wants me to jump. I'm sitting here because you're sitting there. And I'm thinking, Lord, what can I do? But it's not in me. Just like we were reading in there, not of my righteousness, as by the law, or what you would think would be of qualified of me to do, but of Him. Guys, you got to be willing to believe and trust God for more than what we are. We've got to be willing to come in here and do what we do for God every single night. There's not time to lay out or lay off. Not time to quit. Not time to play dead. Not time to roll over and think that we are justified. I'm going to read the rest of this, but I want you to know that this is serious. And that if you've heard this word and you understand this word, you are held accountable by this word also. The last one. Some of you are saying, thank you, Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what stood out to me? I've heard that all my life. But you know what rung in my spirit this time? Not what we are limited to in this world, but it's by His riches. Not to what my circumstances limit a situation to, but when I petition to God, the situation is according to what His power. I don't know if you're getting that or not. It's said according to His will and His power, and His ways are above our ways. And He can reach out and touch those that are untouchable. And He can speak to those that are not willing to listen to you. And He can bless those and heal those that we find to be unhealable. I'm telling you, God's Spirit has no boundaries if we so choose to speak it into their life. Woo! I feel it now. Oh, I'm satisfied to know that I know that His riches are on my side. So the question I want to leave with you tonight is this, and I hope it rings in your mind and in your spirit until you know and pray and do something about it, is that, are you satisfied? You ask yourself that. And if the answer is, well, I don't know, or maybe, or I think I am, if there's any uncertainties in there and you don't have an absolute dwelling of God with certainty in your heart, it's time to come closer. Time to move up. Time to call out. Time to knock old Satan off your back and move on. Let's not go around the mountain, church. Let's move the mountain. I'm tired of going around the mountain. I want to move the mountain. I'm willing to blind myself and come in here and obey God, because I don't care who it comes through, who prays for me, who sings the song, who preaches the word. I'm willing to receive whatsoever would be under the will and spirit of God. And I'm willing to come in one mind and one accord with anybody that would stand. And we've got to be in that frame of mind. I didn't used to be, but I am now. You want to know why? Because we're all human. And we have to learn to love one another, support one another, even when we don't feel like that we have to. Well, they know that I support them. I don't have to amen them. Boy, you just don't know the difference that it makes when you do. I think that might be why a lot of us are afraid to obey God, because we think everybody will leave me hanging. God's given me the boldness in my life now where even if everybody just absolutely zipped up on me, I'm going to do it. You'll eventually be able to look the enemy in the eye and deliver the gospel. Hallelujah. You'll be able to declare, hallelujah. I feel it. All you have to do is take your authority and declare to the enemy. Come on now. Are you blessed tonight? Are you satisfied?